This is CBS, Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Russia, the sovereign debt of Russia. I read from the news in these last hours. The Treasury, the U.S. Treasury Department said in a notification that it does not plan to renew the license that allowed Russia to keep paying its debt holders through American banks, making a Russian default all but inevitable. Since the first round of sanctions, the Treasury Department has given banks a license to process any dollar-denominated bond payments from Russia. That window expires at midnight of May 25th. The clock is ticking. To help me understand the scale of this, I welcome my colleague Michael Bernstam of the Hoover Institution, who first guided me to the fact that Russia's sovereign debt is extremely critical to its sense of self-worth. The whole nation, but especially the leadership in the Kremlin that launched the predation in Ukraine. And now, because of sanctions and because of this Treasury license that is now to be withdrawn, it is going to violate something that's been in place since the revolution of 1917-1918. They're going to default on, I believe, $20 billion worth of debt. Michael, a very good evening to you. We've emphasized that this is important to the leadership, especially Vladimir Putin. What is the Treasury doing, and why are they doing it now? Why didn't they do it initially? How does this gain them an advantage? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you. The Russian sovereign debt is about $77 billion, of which about $40 billion are denominated in dollars. Those are euro bonds. And the payments consist of coupon payments, like interest payment, and they have to also redeem some of their outstanding balance. This year, 2022, they have to pay about $2 billion. $2 billion they collected from their exporters because their foreign exchange reserves are frozen. They're willing to pay, but now they lost their license because the treasuries are under sanctions. And so there will be a default. They will have a 30 days grace period until 24th of June. And after that, for the first time in 105 years, they will be in sovereign default. And this will mean they will sink to the status of third world countries like Argentina and others. So they're kind of how they are seen in the world. They will be dumped to the status of some backward countries.
Does this increase their cost for what other debts they owe? Do they get dropped in the credit ratings so that they're punished for defaulting?
Absolutely, because in addition to that, they have over $300 billion in corporate debt and bank debt. They have to also pay. And the spread for credit default swaps, which is kind of insurance for their debt, is huge. Their debt is sold at 20 cents on the dollar. And the most important thing is for future investments, including foreign direct investment, which is critical for technologies, they will have nothing because no one will lend. Sovereign default and default of the country on external debt means that for 10 years, for 20 years, no one will come there to help their industries.
I see. This sounds like why it is so important to the Kremlin to pay this. Now, we've come up against this moment before when there was a grace period. But the Treasury this time has changed its mind. Was that always in train? Were they always going to, shall we say, lure Russia into thinking that they were going to be given a license each time and then they pulled it?
No, what happens here that there is an exception for trade in energy and natural resources because Western countries need it. And together with this exception, the Treasury did not want to interrupt the flow of payments. But gradually, as the war proceeds, as external relations worsen and our policy toughens, we become more and more tough on them, and this default will have a huge political significance.
There are other troubles, and I need your help to understand this. Michael worked in the Russian Central Bank atmosphere in the late 90s under Boris Yeltsin, the first president following the Soviet Union. Since then, the Russian Central Bank, a beautiful building in the middle of Moscow where there's lots of gold in the basement and beautiful shrubbery outside, even in snow time, is now making very important decisions. In fact, all the Russian banks are making decisions, but this one puzzles me. I read from the headline in Bloomberg News in these last hours, Russia set to step up actions to tame rampant ruble rally. Russia is racing to stem a rally in the ruble and is set to accelerate interest rate cuts as the currencies advance to a four-year high against the dollar, damages government finances and exporters. I'm puzzled, Michael. The ruble is not convertible. It's really not something that can leave Russia. So why are they cutting interest rates? What are they worried about if the central banker in Russia?
Yeah, the central bank in Russia, the central bank and the treasury, the Ministry of Finance, have totally different objectives and they're working against one another. Because what happens is the peculiar Russian tax system. All outlays are, of course, domestic, all social expenditures, military expenditures, which is important, all of them are in the domestic currency in ruble. Whereas the taxes, the revenues, are collected partially in dollars because all taxes on natural resources, export duties, and special taxes on extraction of natural resources are taxed in dollars because the government doesn't trust their own companies that they will pay, there will be no capital flight. So they tax them on the spot, at the source. But then what happens is that they collect dollars, and they have to pay for their expenditures in rubles. So they want their dollar to be a bit lower so that they will have more rubles for the dollar because they need more rubles for the budget. And so the central bank has to manipulate. It is not convertible. It is totally for bookkeeping purposes. But they have to manipulate that the dollar is not too low that when companies want to buy dollars for imports, but the dollar is not too high so that the finance ministry, the treasury, has enough for the budget. And that's how the game is being played.
The cutting of interest rates, the central bank action, will that stem this trouble? Will it solve it?
First, the central bank increased interest rates to 20% in order to stop the run on the banks that people used to withdraw the ruble deposit. So they said, okay, stay put. Stay put, bring the rubles back to your deposits. We don't want the banks to fail. Then now they want to reduce, they want to a bit to increase the value of the dollar to reduce the exchange rate of the ruble. So they are reducing interest rates so that people will start reduce their ruble holding. So this is kind of the game the central bank is playing.
Does this mean now there'll be a run on the bank as they first worried about, or has that stabilized?
Well, it is stabilized, but the problem is deeper. The problem is that the banks are effectively bankrupt, and what the central bank is doing, there is a series of bank failures that they hide. So what the central bank is doing, the central bank, it's unique in the world. The Russian central bank provides commercial banks loans in dollars, not in rubles. Every central bank helps to bail out their banks in their domestic currency. Here they bail out their banks in dollars so that they can pay for their deposits, for their obligations, for their withdrawals. And so they buy domestic bonds from the banks and give them, it's a repurchase operation, they give them money in dollars.
Finally, Michael brings to my attention that total Russian imports in April of 2022 over April of 2021 fell by about 7%. China is buying oil. I think they're buying food, too, but at a cut rate. Is that correct? So China's yes. Taking advantage of Russia.
Yeah, Russia is selling now oil to India and to China at huge discount, $30 a barrel. It is expected they would even sell it at the discount of $50 a barrel just to sell. And, of course, for China and for India, it is good because they can resell it. But the problem is that the Chinese reduced their exports to Russia so by 29%. So Russia expected that they could get some components for their computers, for their phones, for their industries, some software, some hardware they would get from China to substitute for Western European exports that declined. And now it doesn't work. So their imports are collapsing. Even the official data says 36% decline in imports. But this means that long-term investment is collapsing.
The blow that seemed beyond expectation was when the news came this week that Starbucks was leaving Russia. They've lost all of the great franchises, all of them recently, and now they're being, well, let's put it, exploited, plundered, taken advantage of by China. And week by week when we talk, Michael, it gets worse. That's my impression. Is that the impression in Moscow? It just keeps getting worse?
Oh, it's keep getting worse, and remarkably, even their official under censorship official newspapers publish this openly, so people anyone who wants to know the truth, they can know the truth. What is interesting that the Yale Management School of the Yale University published a list of companies that left Russia, more than 1,000 companies, right. HP and Apple and everyone, so not just Starbucks, but everything, the backbone of modern industry. 1,000 Western companies left Russia.
Michael Bernstam for the Hoover Institution. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.